championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome in. Trevor Lane here for LakersNation.com. And this is the LakersNation.com live podcast / post game show. What a win. The Lakers in overtime take down the New York Knicks. Talen Horton Tucker. Was it the best THT game ever? One of the worst THT games ever? He had a ton of turnovers, but he managed to hit the big shot in the big moment to put the Lakers ahead and help get them the W. The defense, we absolutely need to talk about that as well. Shutting down the Knicks. The Knicks defense, pretty good too. That's why we had such a low scoring game despite going into overtime. But we're going to celebrate with all of you. We're going to talk all about this game, the win. We're going to talk about what this means for the Lakers and the standings. Where does this put them in terms of the playoff race? A lot to break down. So if you're joining us from YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, welcome in, and let's dive into it. Joining me tonight is Ron Gutterman from LakersNation.com. Ron, welcome in, and nice win.
Yeah, I mean, we did our live watch party over on Hot Mic, and let me tell you, that was exhausting.
It was
just an exhausting game, and I'm just glad they got the win. I'm tired just watching it.
It really was, you know, I mean, obviously going into overtime, and when we do our live watch parties, we had to talk through the whole thing and break down the game and everything, which is a ton of fun. And now we get to the post-game show, but after a shot like that, it's like a burst of energy after getting that kind of a win. Amazing moment for the Lakers. Gotta love that. Christian Wetzel gives us a super chat. Thank you. Said THT dynamite. Absolutely makes that big play at the end there. The redemption moment, really. Because he didn't have that good of a game. He didn't have that good of a game in terms of hanging on to the basketball. And let's not forget, the reason why THT was in that spot was because Alex Caruso left the game early due to an injury. That foot has been giving him problems. He's got soreness. And so he was not able to continue this game. I think he's going to be okay, but he wasn't able to continue this one. Put THT into the spotlight. He had a start after the second half. 34 minutes, 10 assists, 13 points for THT, and 2 of 2 from deep, including that big one to seal the win, but also 7 turnovers. So I don't know, Ron, like how do we weigh this game for THT? How do we figure out a way to sort through the good and the bad? The turnovers, hitting the big shot. I don't know how to look at this game.
You know, I in the heat of the moment of him hitting that three, I tweeted this out, and I feel like I have to stay true to my word. I said, the THT slander is paused for the night, but will likely resume in the morning. So I feel like for right now, I have to say congrats to him. He hit a big shot that I did not want him taking. I desperately wanted him to pass the ball, but he took the shot and he drilled it and he got the Lakers a win. So, I mean, for now, I have nothing else to say other than good for him.
Yeah, I mean, great shot. And the big question for him has been, will the moment be too big for him come playoff time? Not tonight. There were some moments where it looked like he was a little bit pressured by the Knicks, and they have a good defense, don't get me wrong. But then he steps up, and first of all, to take that shot, that play was designed to go back to Anthony Davis, clearly. But to have the guts to step up and take that shot, knowing that's what the defense was giving you, after he was having the kind of night that he had, that's impressive. That was impressive that he was able to take and make that shot. Al Coro with a super chat from YouTube, thank you, said, what do you think about Montrezl Harrell not playing? Looked like there were some matchups he could have been in. He did play. He played in the first half, 5 minutes, and it was the Trez Gasol pairing that we got to see for a little bit. But that was it. Other than that, we saw Marc Gasol be the guy who got the minutes as the backup big. I think this was a case of Andre Drummond doing a lot of work on the boards. 18 rebounds tonight for Drummond, and so Frank Vogel just stuck with him, and Montrezl Harrell had to sacrifice his minutes.
Wow, 18. I didn't even know he got to that number. I mean, yeah. he was everywhere on the boards tonight, so he was really incredible. And I think because the Knicks were running sort of a JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard esque tandem of Nerlens Noel and Taj Gibson, mm-hmm. There wasn't really a moment for Montrezl Harrell to get in there and play, because if he's in there, he's either going up against Taj and Nerlens Noel, who are bigger than him, or he has to guard a Julius Randle, who is just faster and more skilled than him. So it just wasn't a great matchup for him. So I get, and it, with Andre Drummond playing so well in the second half especially, I see why they kept leaning on him.
Yeah, it made a lot of sense to just go ahead and stick with Drummond in this matchup. I think that's the big thing. That's the big takeaway about the Lakers centers, is it's going to be matchup dependent. That's going to determine who plays and who doesn't. In some matchups, Montrezl Harrell is going to be the guy to get minutes. In other matchups, it's going to be more Marc Gasol. Tonight, it was Drummond. In fact, Vogel closed the game with Drummond on the floor because he was playing so well. So that was great to see. Big Penguin was good for this one, people are saying. So yeah, look, Drummond was good in this one, and so Frank Vogel stuck with him. I even saw some really sharp defensive rotations where you could see his quickness was definitely a factor. And so that was nice to see. Not that he did everything perfectly, because he certainly didn't, but I think we saw some growth this game from Andre Drummond, and that's really key moving forward.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, you know, honestly, as much as we talk about chemistry, anyone can mesh alongside LeBron James. His game is so multifaceted, it's so versatile that anyone can fit alongside him. But what was really important was making sure Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis knew how to play alongside mm-hmm. each other. And while there were some awkward moments tonight of Andre Drummond clogging the lane when Anthony Davis was driving as well, there were some awkward moments. I really think they took a step forward as a duo in becoming something that actually works and could work in the playoffs.
Well, here's a little bit of news here regarding Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, after the game, saying his groin got a little tight during overtime, but there was no way he was coming out of the game. Not sure about tomorrow, going to get treatment and see how it feels. I don't like that at all. Played through it. Jovan Buha from The Athletic says Anthony Davis said he played through it because of the Lakers' seeding stakes. So that tells you the Lakers do want to move up to the sixth seed. But that does not sound good to me. If I'm the Lakers, if Anthony Davis feels anything less than 100%, if he feels 99%, he does not play tomorrow.
Yeah, I would absolutely not play him, especially with all signs leaning towards LeBron James returning to the lineup tomorrow night. It makes sense to bring LeBron back, but sit Anthony Davis. It's the Houston Rockets, after all. They are about 35 games below 500, so... it's probably best to rest him. And, you know, if you need to rest him against Indiana, if you need to rest him, you know, really milk this thing, because if he's not 100%, what's the point?
Yeah. Our own Ryan Ward saying that Anthony Davis did say, "I'm hurting," that his groin got tight. Yep. That's it for me. I would 100% be putting him on the bench for tomorrow's game, if that's even an issue, because if you deal with a groin injury, that can be a multiple week, if not longer, type of injury. Could be more than a month. It's, you don't mess with it, especially with the playoffs right around the corner. If there's, yeah, I mean, look, I keep saying, look, if Anthony Davis said he felt 100% tomorrow, the fact that it's bugging him at all right now, done. I would tell him right now, you're not playing tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think with given the cautiousness that we've seen from Frank Vogel and the Lakers training staff, it would be hard to imagine a scenario in which he plays tomorrow, especially because LeBron will be back. So yes. I have to imagine that's the case.
Yeah. LeBron tweeting out THT with a bunch of exclamation points. He's also excited for the youngsters' play out there. THT had a tremendous, tremendous shot at the end there. Gotta love that. But I am getting some people in our chats that in our chat here that is mentioning Wes Matthews. We don't even get to overtime without Wes Matthews. Let's talk about this. Like, as much as we're buzzing about the Talen Horton-Tucker moment, Wes Matthews, of all people, secures an offensive board and putback in order to tie the game and send it to overtime. How big was that play? And how surprised were you, Ron, that it was Wes Matthews to make that play?
You know, man, Wes Matthews, he showed something tonight that, you know, he's a veteran guy. We know what Wes Matthews is, and we know who he's been throughout his career. He showed something tonight that I don't think I've seen from him the entire season, and maybe not for a couple of years. His activity on defense, him and Anthony Davis, the ability to switch back and forth between Derrick Rose and Julius Randle, the way they were playing that two-man game defensively, he hit a clutch three in the fourth quarter, and then he got the putback. I cannot say enough about how well Wes Matthews performed tonight. He was everything the Lakers needed him to be with the stunning lack of guard play that they had.
Yeah, that is it, really. The stunning lack of guard play. Wes Matthews stepped up. This is what we've been looking for all season long, to be that veteran who in the big moments knows what to do. And that's what he did. That was, look, that was a 6'4 guy in Wes Matthews, who does have a long wingspan, but still 6'4. And he knew where to position himself where he'd be able to get that ball and potentially do something with it. So that was great to see from Wes Matthews. Hopefully that makes people feel a little bit more confident about him heading into the playoffs. I did have a super chat that came in here, and I was able to save it here. So Andrew Escamilla from, I believe it was from YouTube here, said underrated stat for Coach Vogel, 16-7 or something to that effect when he challenges the call. We talked about that during our watch party over on Hot Mic. Vogel is really good at challenging calls. He has got a very high success rate. Did it again tonight.
Yeah, and you can tell with that number, it's six. You know, it's not. It may not be exactly 16-7, but something to that effect tells you he's pretty judicious with it, because he's only used it in like a third of the team's games. So, tells you he knows when to use it and when not to.
So Sam Quinn from CBS putting out that the Lakers and Knicks just played the second lowest scoring overtime game of the season with 200 total points. So the over-under on this game was 209. I talked about this a little bit during our live watch party. They didn't pass the over-under even though they went into overtime. You still, if you smashed the under, you still would have won by a solid margin.
Yeah, by about 9 points. 101-99 in overtime. I mean, we kept saying it during the watch party, and it was said a lot on Twitter. Mm-hmm. This game felt like it was, you know, mid-90s, early 2000s, just a real battle. Every possession felt like I was getting exhausted just watching them. Every possession felt like its own new war. And it was really great to watch just an old school battle between two classic teams.
I was waiting to see like Jeff Van Gundy hanging on to Alonzo Mourning or something like that happening in this game. Mark Spears with a kind of an interesting thing here. Lakers' Talen Horton-Tucker had his second game this season with at least 10 points and 10 assists off the bench. He's the first Laker with multiple such games in a season since Magic Johnson in 95-96. That was when Magic returned. That's not his initial stint, but that's when Magic returned to the Lakers for half a season. So he's the first player since Magic to do that off the bench.
Yeah, and he did also have 7 turnovers. But, yes, again, because he hit that shot, I want to try to be nice to him. He was asked to do a lot in terms of handling the ball without Caruso, without Schroeder, without LeBron. He was asked to do a lot, and so 7 turnovers, it's a big number, and there were very bad moments from him tonight, but it was just a lot on his plate.
Jeff Duro from Periscope said, this game is the way NBA games should be played. Great to see defense being played on an NBA court. It really did feel like a throwback game, didn't it? You could see this coming in because it's two of the best defenses in the NBA and two teams that can struggle on the offensive end, and the Lakers are missing their point guards, and then Caruso goes out, right? It's tough to generate good shots against the Knicks, period, but when you don't have your point guards out there, that makes it even more difficult, particularly when one of those point guards is arguably the best player in the NBA and LeBron James. But there was that throwback familiarity to this game that I kind of liked. It was a nice change seeing teams not be able to just high pick and roll, space the floor each other to death.
Yeah, I mean, there was no spacing. We would watch possessions where the Knicks would pack 3 or 4 defenders in the paint, and instead of shooting threes like, you know, a Golden State Warriors or a Brooklyn Nets would do, the Lakers also packed the paint with 3 or 4 offensive players and just found spacing and found ways to make things happen within the paint. It gave me a lot of, Kobe, Shaq, the way they would maneuver just right in the painted area. It gave me a lot of that era of vibes.
Yeah, it definitely did. And look, if you go back and you watch, I'm not talking about highlights. You go back and you watch a full game from, say, go back to 2001 when the Lakers went on their crazy playoff run. And you watch that season. it almost looks like a different sport, the way the offense is set up. It's so different than the basketball that we see today. This felt like very much a throwback opportunity or throwback game here. Our own Ryan Ward on Twitter putting out this, a little more info on Anthony Davis. Frank Vogel, what information was given to him by the training staff, said that the groin was tight, but that he could continue and wanted to continue. So the Lakers medical staff cleared Anthony Davis to continue playing, even though he was dealing with that groin issue.
Yeah, and so it's one of those things where while he could be medically cleared to play tomorrow, given the opponent and given LeBron James returning to the lineup and given how close we are to the playoffs, even if he's medically cleared, I really wouldn't play him.
Yeah, I would not either. Somebody said that Fantasy Labs just put out on Twitter that Anthony Davis is uncertain for Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, look, I would say he's very uncertain. And again, with the Lakers as cautious as they need to be, I'm sitting him.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the Next Man Up Award. We've got a number tonight. I love nights like this. We've got a number of different candidates that we could look to. You've got so a non-Anthony Davis player. And AD, look, for his own standards, he was great defensively, and we're going to talk about that in just a bit. But 8 for 23 shooting, 6 boards, 4 assists, 1 steal, 20 points. Not as good as he's been recently. Meanwhile, Kyle Kuzma, 9 for 17 shooting, 23 points. He's certainly a candidate. Talen Horton-Tucker, 10 assists, 13 points, hits the big shot. Wes Matthews making some big plays, 6 boards, 8 points. And then you've got 16 and 18 from Andre Drummond. 18 rebounds, 16 points, 2 blocks from Drummond. Ron, where are you going with the Next Man Up Award? Maybe even somebody I didn't name yet.
No, I'm going with Wes Matthews.
Okay.
Shout out to Matt Peralta. He... You know, he stood on this cross all year long, and he is being rewarded in a big way. I hope wherever he is, he's having a great night. Yeah, Wes Matthews is, for me, almost a no-doubt winner. He, just in that fourth quarter, in that overtime, he was able to effectively shut down, him and Anthony Davis alone, were effectively able to shut down the entire Knicks offensive attack. They put up a combined 23 points in the fourth quarter and overtime. That's almost entirely attributable to what Wes Matthews and Anthony Davis were doing mm-hmm. together as a tandem. So even though his scoring output wasn't incredible, he hits the big shot in regulation. He hits 2 big shots in regulation, actually. He had a 3 in the fourth quarter as well. He plays defense the way he played. He made all the hustle plays. I have to give it to Wes Matthews.
40% from 3 and a team high plus 14 and plus minus for Wes Matthews tonight. And I love that you identified the defense. That's exactly where he really thrived, was on the defensive end of the floor, especially with Anthony Davis. Made some great plays there. You know, I've got a lot of people in our chat that right now are saying it should be THT. THT needs to be it. But here's my thing. If THT missed that last shot, he had turned the ball over the possession before. He's got 7 turnovers on the game. Like, if THT had missed that shot and the Lakers lost, he's probably a master lock candidate, right? Like, he made one shot, and that is what's kind of putting him into the forefront. I'm not saying he played poorly, but 7 turnovers is a lot. 10 assists, okay, you'll take that. He did step up in a few moments, but there were some moments where I felt like the Knicks were able to speed him up, which is to be expected. I say this all the time. People get on me for defending Talen Horton-Tucker too much, but he's 20. He's 20. We should anticipate this. We should expect it. But come playoff time, I saw some things tonight. As great as that last shot was, I saw some things tonight that would make me a little bit hesitant to trust Talen Horton-Tucker come playoff time. So for those reasons, I don't think I can go THT as the next man up. Instead, I'm going to go Andre Drummond. 18 boards, 16 points, 5 offensive rebounds, 6 of 11 shooting, 4 of 7 at the line. He was a difference maker on the glass, played 36 minutes, and got the crunch time minutes because he was a net positive out there on the floor. He was making a difference on both ends. He was finding ways to get involved, and I really like what the Lakers are doing with him right now. When Anthony Davis is on the floor, we talked about this over on Hot Mic, they're allowing him to really crash the glass. It's not the same as what we saw a few games ago where Andre Drummond, anytime a shot goes up, he was just kind of half-heartedly contesting for the rebound and mostly focusing on getting back on defense. Instead, he's making things happen. He's going after the offensive boards now and trusting that Anthony Davis will get back. And I think that's been a really important shift, and it's unlocked really the impact that Andre Drummond can have.
Yeah, and Andre Drummond, I know, I remember thinking for years, you know, he's been in the NBA for like 7-8 seasons now, and I felt like the common narrative surrounding him is he came to the game about 15 years too late or 10 years too mm-hmm. late. And this game proved it, because we keep saying, oh, it's 2003, it's 1995 all over again, and look who's at the forefront. It's Andre Drummond with 16 points and 18 rebounds. So it's just further proof that when the Lakers need to play this style of basketball because the offense isn't working the same way, when they need to go to this defense hard-nosed style, they have the perfect center for it in Andre Drummond.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When the situation calls for it. And again, going back to our discussion, we've had this discussion a lot about the Lakers' bigs, who should get the minutes. Really depends on who they're playing, right? That's, I think, what's going to determine where Frank Vogel goes. And that's a luxury that not a lot of teams have, that the Lakers can play a lot of different styles. Drummond gives you a very different look than Gasol does, who gives you a very different look than Montrezl Harrell does. And all three are quality players in their own right.
Yeah, definitely. And it's going to be a recurring discussion every playoff mm-hmm. game that comes by where one of them plays more than the other. It's going to be a discussion. But the bottom line is Andre Drummond fits this style of game perfectly. So when it's this style of game, I don't want Marc Gasol out there. I don't want Montrezl Harrell out there. I want Andre Drummond.
Yeah, I agreed. In this style of game, Drummond was a factor and a positive factor. And for a guy who's taken a lot of flack lately in terms of how he's played, a lot of people have been saying, get Marc Gasol in there. I think tonight was a great example of what he can do in the right matchups. A little addition here real quick from our own Ryan Ward, saying that Anthony Davis mentioned that it's a very strong possibility he fights through it to play against the Rockets. AD, it's the Rockets. Don't fight through it. Rest.
I get wanting to play on banner night. You know,
yes, the banners that's important.
Tomorrow. He wants to be a part of it. If I'm the Lakers and he's just like, I have to play on banner night, you let him play the first half and then you sit him the whole second half. Because if we're being honest, if LeBron James plays, the Lakers should be up by double digits for a majority of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to disrespect the Rockets, but the Rockets are not a good basketball team. So
no. And they're not built to be a good basketball team right now. So there's nothing wrong
with
that.
They're actually by 3.5 games, which is a huge margin for the bottom of the standings, they're the worst team in the league by 3.5 games.
That's yeah.
That's
impressive. That's impressive. Given how many teams are like overtly tanking, that's impressive.
Yeah, they have 16 wins right now, and the second worst team is Detroit with 20.
Wow. Well, that's a good night for banner night.
That's great.
So I've got a few people that are commenting on my background. I keep forgetting, because we talked about it in the hot mic section. Why in the live show? Why do I have this background right now? Well, it actually looks better than the last post-game live that we did a few nights ago, because this temporary studio is still being built. I think it's going to be about done probably by the end of the day tomorrow. Fingers crossed. I don't know if it'll be ready to go for the post-game tomorrow night, because I have to install all the sound panels and everything like that. But this is getting there, almost there, and we're a short period away from me not looking like I am doing this show from a Home Depot.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, they're not a sponsor, but shout out Home Depot, because there is not better product placement than what you are doing with Home Depot right now.
I've got people that's right. It is. It's very subtle, I think, the Home Depot bucket just kind of chilling in the background. Somebody said, where's the ladder? It is literally right there. It is set up right next to me. I'm not going to bother turning the camera, but it's right there.
A glowing orange bucket in the middle of a white background.
It is. We should, you know what? We should change Home Depot from not a sponsor into a sponsor. We should just hit them up and say, hey, you want to sponsor us?
Let's reach out. Show them the footage of this night.
Yes, absolutely. Say,
hey, this is a partnership.
I've got Intel Wild with a super chat from YouTube. Thank you. Said, we have killed the Suns and the Knicks on the offensive glass. Thank you, Drummond. The Knicks picked up 5 offensive boards tonight. The Lakers, 14.
Wow.
14. That's how you make up the difference in turnovers. The Knicks turned the ball over 9 times. The Lakers turned it over 18 times. So the Lakers were able to make up for that on the offensive glass, and a lot of that thanks to Andre Drummond, who chipped in the most with 5. And again, that goes back to this shift that we've seen, where now Drummond is more aggressively pursuing boards on the offensive glass and keeping plays alive instead of focusing on getting back. And I think it's been a positive one. We've seen it now in 2 games.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the New York Knicks are a forward-centric team. Yes, mm-hmm. they have Derrick Rose, but they are a forward-centric team. Julius Randle, Nerlens Noel, Taj Gibson, when he's healthy, Mitchell Robinson as well. This is a forward-centric team, and the Lakers out-rebounded them by 12 tonight. That's just an impressive margin. That's a testament to Andre Drummond. It's a mm-hmm. testament to the gravity that Anthony Davis brings. Testament to the guards like Wes Matthews for getting in there and picking up. I mean, Wesley Matthews and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope combined for 13 rebounds tonight. That's incredible. And that's a real testament to what the Lakers' game plan is without all their point guards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tina Juman said, Trevor's building a studio. Someone is moving up in the world. I had a studio. I had a studio by last place. And so when I moved, I knew I was going to have to do something else. And so now we're building a studio here. And actually, this is the small one. We're going to build a bigger studio. It's just going to take a little bit longer. But looking at some of these questions, some people are asking about Kyle Kuzma. I think we need to talk about this, Ron. Kyle Kuzma changes his hair. The blonde is gone, and he becomes a flamethrower in the first half. 9 for 17 on the night, 4 threes, 23 points, 3 rebounds. You know, we've talked about Kyle Kuzma's versatility. I've called him the chameleon. He's got the ability to defend, to rebound at a high level. Tonight, he went back. He went throwback style tonight, and he just scored the basketball. 33 minutes, 23 points for Kuzma. Was a minus 11, though. In plus minus, what do you make of Kyle Kuzma's night? Because I still have a lot of people that aren't thrilled with him, even though he put up 23 points.
Yeah, so a lot of that scoring, 16 of his points came in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And you know what? The Lakers desperately needed that 16 points in the second quarter. As we saw in this game, points were not easy to come by. And so Kyle Kuzma turning into a flamethrower for 12 minutes, that's a really big deal. So in that way, you have to give him credit. This is something we know about Kuzma. So you call him the chameleon because of his ability to shift into what the team needs.
Right.
However, and I still like Kyle Kuzma very much. I do see him as a long-term part of this team. But when his biggest flaw as a player is when he is doing one thing really, really well, he's doing another thing poorly.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's rebounding the ball like crazy and he's passing the ball, you know he shot 2 for 10 that night. When he scores 25 points, you know he wasn't rebounding that much. You know he wasn't passing the ball that much. And you know the defense wasn't there like it always is. So it's just a problem.
I think the best Kuzma might not be the 20-plus point per game Kuzma. The best Kuzma might be the 12 to 15-ish, maybe even like 12, 13 points Kuzma, who also locks in on defense, who also focuses on the rebound. The guy who does a little bit of everything rather than just a lot of one thing. If he can just be a threat from the corner three, play good wing defense, grab some boards, and occasionally make a decent pass, I think that's the best version of Kyle Kuzma right now.
Yeah, he needs to be a like 12 points, 10 rebounds kind of guy. Yep. And he's more than capable, and that's when he's at his best. I completely agree.
Alex Ode said, Trevor, what exactly do you mean by the adjustment that made Drummond rebound more? Like, is he placed somewhere different on the offense? It's not so much that. It's if you watch the previous games and you watch what Drummond was doing when an offensive rebound went up or when an offensive shot goes up, the Lakers shoot. Most of the time, he was just kind of checking in, just tagging the man that was the man that was going to rebound the ball from the other team and really focusing on just getting back on defense. So he was just kind of putting in a half effort just to put a little bit of pressure. And if there wasn't a very clear opportunity to get an offensive rebound, he was mostly letting the other team have it and then go back to the other end. Now we're seeing him fight a bit more, contest for position a bit more. And the danger is that if you do that, let's say you're really battling in the post, your team, let's say KCP puts up a shot and Drummond is battling in the post, gets tied up, and he doesn't get the rebound, the other team can get going the other way, and you don't have your big back there to protect the rim because he was busy battling underneath. And so Frank Vogel had been getting him back first and foremost. That was his number one priority. But what Drummond brings is offensive rebounding, rebounding in general. But one of the best things about him is ability to grab offensive rebounds. And so if you have him just focusing on getting back, you're taking away maybe what he does best. And so the last two games, we've seen a shift there where Drummond has been, I think last game he had 7 offensive rebounds, tonight it's 5, where he was able to really pursue the offensive glass, knowing that it was going to be Anthony Davis's responsibility to get back. And it's made a world of difference. I think it's made him a much more effective player.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that during the playoffs, we're going to see minutes where Andre Drummond's on the court and Anthony Davis isn't.
Yes.
I think that's going to be 0.
Somebody said, what's Arnel Albayalde? Sorry if I butchered that, from Facebook. Said, what's with Markieff? Markieff Morris tonight, 5 minutes, 0 for 2 shooting, no other counting stats, minus 6 and plus minus, 0 for 1 from 3. And we talked about the stat during the live watch party, 1 for 28 on his last 28 three-point attempts. He's made 1. What is going on with Markieff Morris? Are we at a point where you're not looking to play him come playoff time?
Look, so there's two sides to this. One, Markieff Morris is a proven veteran. He was great for the team in the playoffs last year. He's been great in spurts this year when the team needed him most. So there is a part of me that tends to trust him when the chips are down and we need someone. But, you know, in the playoffs, the rotation shrinks. We're going to look at maybe a 9-man rotation instead of 11 or 12, what we've been doing. And for now, it looks like Markieff will probably have to be one of those casualties, given how well some of these other role players are playing. I hope he's a part of the rotation, because when he's playing at his best, he's insanely valuable.
I don't think that he's totally, like, he's not just cast away and forgotten and then that's it. I think Frank Vogel will still give him some opportunities, especially given how important he was to the team last year in the playoffs. But it's pretty clear right now he's in a slump, and that slump seemed to be triggered by an ankle injury. So I'm hoping that he's over that, and now it's just a mental thing in terms of knocking in those threes. But if he really can't shoot, I mean, tonight he only played 5 minutes. I mean, he was starting just a few weeks ago. He was the starter when Anthony Davis was out, and now here he is once again, pretty much relegated to the bench. I guess the good thing is Vogel has other options. If Keith doesn't turn it around, Vogel's got other options to turn to. But the ideal scenario is not, I'm going to go to player X because this guy's playing poorly. It's everybody's playing poorly, and now I have to figure out what the best matchups are.
Yeah, and Markieff and Wesley Matthews have been in the same boat, where they've been played out of the rotation and then played back in and then starting and then played back out. Like, they've been on a roller coaster this season. So right now, Wesley Matthews is at like the peak of his powers, and Markieff Morris is at like the absolute valley of his powers. So hopefully they both can reach that peak at the same time, because if they're both playing well, that's a lot of really savvy veterans that can win you games.
If Markieff Morris was a stock, I'd be buying right now.
Yeah, because it can't get much lower.
Yes. Yeah, it's not going to get much lower, and you know he's still going to get opportunities to bring that value back up. KB the Goat from YouTube said, Trevor, should we look to keep Ben McLemore long term? I think it depends on the price tag, but if he's a guy you can keep around for, say, like a veteran minimum deal or something, and again, I don't know if he would take that, right? I'm not saying that, but if he's sitting there and you've got a veteran minimum to offer and he will take that, there's no reason why you wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, I definitely would keep him around for that. And he's shown that he can hit threes, 40% from three tonight, 2 for 5. He's able to get hot quickly and knock those in. And on a team with LeBron James, that's important to have guys who can space the floor and knock in threes. And it also doesn't hurt that he's a Clutch Sports client. So yes, he's somebody I'd look to keep. If I have to pay him more than the vet minimum, if I have to give him a $5 million a year contract to keep him around and I'm dipping in to an exception, a mid-level exception, something like that, then that's where it starts to get a bit more questionable. But I think he's been good in his role.
Yeah, and it, you said it right. I mean, it's a veteran minimum or he can go somewhere else. I mean, like, he is, when everyone is healthy, he is the 12th, maybe 13th man in the rotation. I'm not paying more than the veteran minimum for guys 12 through 15 on the roster.
Yeah. Yeah. And they can't. the Lakers aren't in a position where they can do that, certainly. All right. Let's get into a few more of these. THT redeemed himself. Yes, he absolutely did. Sergio Saucedo from Facebook said, if you're the Lakers, what seed do you want in the playoffs? So let's get into that. Let's take a look at the standings and where they sit now that the Lakers have beat the Knicks. The Warriors, it looked like they were going to lose tonight. Unfortunately, did not happen. Instead, they came back and got a win over the Phoenix Suns. The Suns just kind of stopped in the fourth quarter, stopped scoring the basketball, and the Warriors came back and won that one. We were hoping to get the Warriors out of the eighth seed. So if the Lakers stay in seventh, they could play a team like the Grizzlies instead. But the Warriors do continue to have a half-game lead over the Grizzlies because Memphis did win tonight against Dallas. Because of that, Dallas has now dropped. So the five is now Portland. The Mavs have dropped into the sixth seed, and the Lakers are a game back of both Portland and Dallas in the seventh seed. But let's remember, the Lakers also have do not have the tiebreaker against either Dallas or the Blazers. The Mavs and the Blazers have the tiebreaker over the Lakers. So still most likely that they stay in the seventh spot. But I also think the Lakers could, I mean, they should win tomorrow against Houston. I mean, anything can happen, but that should be a win. And then you've got the Pelicans and the Pacers. It's not impossible here for the Lakers to finish the season on a 5-0 winning streak.
Yeah, so I'll go in through the scenarios because actually Portland and Dallas being tied, it's the exact same scenario for both teams. So essentially, if all teams have three games left, the Lakers, Portland, and Dallas, they have three games left each. If Portland and Dallas, if they go 3-0 or 2-1, the Lakers are 7. If both of those teams do that, or if one of those teams, they'll be ahead of the Lakers. Very simple. If Portland or Dallas go 1-2, then the Lakers have to go 3-0 to pass one or both of them. If Portland or Dallas go 0-3, then the Lakers can go 2-1 or 3-0 and pass one or both of them. So it's actually really interesting. This is the unlikeliest scenario of everything that's going to happen, but there's a real chance the Lakers could hop back into five.
They could. I mean, let's look at the schedule. So we know the Blazers get Utah, they get the Suns, and they get the Nuggets, which are supposed to be three top four-ish teams, right, in the West. They could go 0-3. Could. The Mavs get New Orleans, Toronto, Minnesota. I don't think the Mavs are going 0-3.
No, probably not. No. Probably not even going 1-2.
No, they're probably winning all three of those, most likely. But they do have to play. New Orleans is tomorrow night, second night of a back-to-back, but they are coming off of a bad loss. So you know they didn't play their starters a ton. They got blown out tonight by almost 30 to the Memphis Grizzlies. But they do get New Orleans tomorrow, then Toronto, and then on Sunday they play the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I suppose five isn't out of the question, but
just unlikely.
It's unlikely because you're asking the Mavs to lose a lot there. And remember, the Lakers don't have the advantage of the tiebreaker against either team. So that's where it gets pretty tricky. Still looking at the standings right now, the Clippers are still sitting in the three seed. That's the team I'd probably least want to see out of Phoenix, Clippers, Nuggets. The team I would least like to see, even if you throw in Utah there, would be the Clippers. I think they are, I want to say they're probably playing the best basketball out of those teams right now. So I'd prefer to see someone else. But if the Lakers do move up to six, we could see a battle of LA in the first round.
Yeah, and there are definitely a lot of negatives to playing the Clippers in the first round. You and I differ on this a little bit. Mm-hmm. I am of the belief that avoiding the play-in tournament is more important only because you get the week off. You don't have to worry about one-off elimination games. You don't have to worry about Stephen Curry going off for 50 points and then you lose, and next thing you know, you're out of the playoffs altogether. So I think I still lean towards if you can get out of the play-in, go get out of the play-in. But if they happen to fall there and they can take care of business against Golden State or Memphis in the first game and they get Phoenix, wouldn't be too mad.
No. No, I would not either. THT, according to the Lakers Nation YouTube account, said THT said he was trying to make up for his turnover when he shot the game-winning three. Just kept my confidence and good things happened. So that was actually a thought in his head, like, I'm going to make up for that by hitting this three. and then he still took it.
Don't know how I don't like that.
I know, and it worries me a little bit. Like sometimes, if you're trying to make up for your last mistake, you can cause some problems. It's like if you're betting on a game and you lose the bet, and so then you go put a bunch of money on the next one in order to make up for it, and you can dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. That, yeah.
Well, because THT misses that shot, and the conversation we're having now is THT does not play in the playoffs.
Yes. That's really what we're talking about, right?
What's crazy is he made that shot, and we're still kind of having that conversation. So if he would have missed it, I mean, it would have been set in stone.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, he would probably be getting the master lock tonight if he missed that shot.
But he makes it, so.
He makes it, and it changes the perception a little bit. Speaking of which, let's get to the master lock of the night. Chat, fire it off. Let us know who you think should be in the master lock. Let's go. All right, Ron, I've got somebody commenting Master Lock Chick's paw on your desk. That's one of my cats who must have been watching the live watch party over on Hot Mic, because the cats did make a brief appearance at halftime, and there are actually cat paw prints on my desk right now. But let's go, Ron. Who do you think should get Master Locked?
Oh man, you know, out of respect to Julius Randle and Derrick Rose, who I absolutely love, I love both of them as players, I'm going to master lock all New York Knicks role players.
Oh.
No one got to double digits tonight except for Julius Randle and Derrick Rose, who combined for 58 of the 99 points. The other seven players who saw the court tonight, only seven because they run a nine-man rotation in New York, seven players combined for 41 points. That is not a way to support your stars.
I think that's a pretty justified master lock of the night to those Knicks role players, especially seeing them go nuts celebrating on the bench every single time the Knicks did anything remotely positive. They're going insane. And look, we talked about it during the live show, the watch party. The Lakers were that team last year in the playoffs that were excited on every single play. Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee going nuts on the sidelines. But still, it's a little bit annoying when you're playing against them and they make a decent play and the sideline erupts and all of that, especially on your own home floor.
Also, the Lakers last year, it was the playoffs, and those players who were celebrating were at least contributing to a championship.
Very true.
The Knicks are going wild and crazy over a regular season game in which they fell to sixth place in the Eastern Conference.
Very true.
A little different.
Yeah, does that now pushes the Knicks down to sixth, and they don't want to be in that spot. Six means you get the Bucks in the first round as compared to getting the Hawks. This was actually a really big game for the Knicks in the Eastern Conference standings.
Yeah, they actually desperately needed a win. They are now in a three-way tie with Atlanta and Miami, but they do not have the tiebreaker against either team, so they are six. Mm-hmm. If the playoffs started today, they would face the Bucks, and the Hawks and the Heat would play one another.
Oof. Man, this was a big loss then for the Knicks, because that's a rough draw. All right, so for my master lock, I am, you know what, I'm tempted to go with Derrick Rose, 10 for 22 shooting, 27 points. Knock it off, Derrick Rose. There aren't any more Laker trade rumors, right? You're not auditioning for the Lakers anymore. You can stop blowing up against LA. Six boards, six assists, three steals for Derrick Rose. Ridiculous. But he's not getting the master lock from me. Instead, the master lock is going to Spike Lee. Spike Lee talking trash on the sideline, thinking the Knicks were going to walk away with a win in Staples Center, and they didn't. All that talking didn't get him anywhere. And did you see it? He wouldn't return the fist bump from the Staples Center employee. I don't know if that was like a COVID thing or if that was you're for the Lakers side thing. I think it was probably the latter there. But still, Spike Lee sitting on the sidelines. I'm glad you had a front row seat to watch your Knicks lose in overtime.
Yeah, really big loss. And I can't help but think that Spike Lee's antics on the sideline motivated Anthony Davis and company.
Yeah, absolutely. It got them going. AD was certainly talking after they were able to get that last stop. By the way, we haven't talked about enough about this. The Lakers' defense in general, somebody's bringing up the scoring droughts. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to the scoring droughts next. But the defense, my goodness, that Lakers' defense turned it up. You look at the shot the Knicks got with the game on the line after THT hit that three. Horrible. Horrible possession for them because the Lakers' defense was so good. I saw Andre Drummond making some good rotations on the defensive end. Hopefully that means things are clicking with him and he's starting to get it. Wes Matthews and Anthony Davis, we talked about earlier. The two of them combined a couple of times on Julius Randle to make really nice reads there and make life difficult on him. And Anthony Davis just straight up on Julius Randle, shut him down in overtime. Multiple possessions, just got stops on him when he was unstoppable during other portions of the game. So the Lakers' defense tonight was tremendous. They don't win this game without that kind of defensive intensity and performance. They showed why they are the best defense in the NBA tonight.
Yeah. So just the jarring number to me is in the first half, 24 minutes, the Knicks scored 56 points. And in the second half and overtime, which is 29 minutes, it's more minutes, they scored 43 total.
Unreal.
You are going to – the Lakers – you know, we know the Lakers are a defense-first team. When LeBron play, even when they have all of their weapons, they are a defense-first team. Mm-hmm. If you can hold a team to 43 points over a 29-minute span, you are going to win every game. You will not lose if you put together that type of defensive effort, and especially if you have your weapons there. You know, they did, again, they did this without LeBron. They did this without Schroeder. They did this without Caruso for most of the game. They did this without all of their initiators on offense. Yeah, you're going to win every game with that type of defensive pressure in the second half.
Yeah, absolutely. That is going to help you out so much, and that can mitigate. Remember, the Lakers did this without a point guard, really, right? They were playing without Schroeder, without LeBron, without Caruso, because he aggravated that foot injury. And I would imagine, by the way, that Caruso probably doesn't play tomorrow either. I would err on the side of caution there. James Bell from YouTube with the super chat, thank you, said, y'all said that was a bad shot by THT, but would Kobe take that shot?
Well,
I mean, there's a big difference between Kobe Bryant and Talen Horton Tucker.
You know, all shout out to Talen Horton Tucker for saying, you know, no LeBron, so I am LeBron. You know, that's basically what he tried to do tonight. Kobe Bryant is allowed to shoot whatever shot he pleases. Talen Horton Tucker at 20 years old in his second NBA season has not yet earned that right. And probably won't.
Especially on a play that's clearly drawn up for Anthony Davis. And I'm not, look, he knocked down the shot and it was a gutsy play and it was great, right? He read what the defense gave him. The defense gave him the shot. He took the shot. He hit it. But let's not pretend like this was some masterpiece of a game from Talen Horton Tucker. It wasn't. He had a number of plays that were just frankly bad. He had some really bad turnovers, sometimes where he looked 20, which is okay. He can look 20 because he is 20. Right? So it's all right for him to do that. It was a big shot. It was a good shot that he hit it. Yes, it was a shot that Kobe would have taken. No question. But THT isn't Kobe. Nobody is. Right? There isn't. Kobe is Kobe. THT is not that.
Yeah, I you know, THT, he made it. Congrats to him. Again, I'm holding off on as much slander as I can. But overall, was not a great night for him. But he made up for it by hitting the shot and winning the game for the Lakers. So I have to give him credit where credit's due.
Tom Lee makes the point that THT should not have had the ball that much. Agreed. And I think Frank Vogel would agree with that too. And he would not have the ball that much if it wasn't for the fact that every other guard was hurt.
The Lakers' point guard rotation for this game was Talen Horton Tucker, Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Neither of those people are point guards at all.
No. That was out of necessity that Talen Horton Tucker had the ball as long as he did, for sure. I've got people asking, is Anthony Davis playing tomorrow? He says he wants to play, but we'll see. We'll see if he actually gets out there or not. Said that his groin was tight enough to where it was causing him pain. Again, if it's me, if I'm the Lakers, I'm saying no way, shut it down. I know it's banner night, but why risk it? We'll see, though, if he actually gets out there. It depends on what the Lakers medical staff has to say. Somebody asking about Caruso's injury status. We have not heard on him. I'm sure he's day-to-day as well. Nothing is broken in his foot. Nothing is torn. He's dealing with just a bad bruise, and so that can be really painful, hard to play through. You let him rest up.
Yeah, it's just about managing soreness with him. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Brian Wasserman said, would we have an easier win if Caruso didn't get injured? Yes. In fact, we pointed out during the watch party a few plays where Talen Horton-Tucker didn't make the right play or didn't make the right read defensively. In fact, there was a play where Ben McLemore didn't make the right read defensively in terms of closing out on a shooter, and Caruso would have. So, yes, I think it would have been an easier win had Caruso played. Johnny High Five from Facebook. When is Dennis coming back? Not tomorrow. The earliest that we will see him is against the Pacers, which is the second to last game of the season, but it depends on the COVID protocols, depends on all of that sort of stuff. It's possible we don't see him. That possibility is out there, that he just doesn't come back. But I think the Lakers would like to get him back for the Pacers and Pelicans games so that he can get into a little bit of rhythm. But it all depends on the NBA's protocols at this point.
Yeah, the most recent update from Frank Vogel was he basically said, we hope we can have him for those last two games.
Yeah.
That's the hope.
Yes.
But even Frank Vogel doesn't know because it's not up to him.
Right. It's not up to him. It's not up to the Lakers medical staff, not up to any of those guys. It's up to the NBA. Out of their hands. All right, let's do one more. Somebody said you guys hate THT. Can't wait to see him go to a different team and ball out. Guys, I've been telling you guys since last season to watch Talen Horton-Tucker, to go watch the South Bay Lakers, the G League games, and I've been telling you all about how he was doing jaw-dropping things there. We've talked about Talen Horton-Tucker a ton, right? I was for keeping him instead of trading for Kyle Lowry because I feel like he's got a lot of potential moving forward. I think it's okay to criticize a 20-year-old player who has 7 turnovers in a game. We can praise him for the things that he does well, like hitting that big shot, but we can also be realistic about the things that he does poorly, because some of those things will get magnified come playoff time. I think long-term, he's going to be really, really good. I'm really excited about him being a Laker. And I think it's okay to point out when he makes mistakes too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see him in 2-3 years, but he's not a finished product. He's not ready. And until that time comes that he is a finished product and he is ready to go, we need to be pointing out his flaws. We can't just let it slide and say, he'll figure it out, because the Lakers are contending for championships.
Oh, Ron, I've got something here. And not to cut you off here on the THT thing, Florin Carlos Zuba from YouTube said the Suns are trying to lose games to slide to that number 3 spot. Let me check and see if that's even possible. It's a 2-game gap. I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, I sure hope it doesn't happen. That would suck if the Lakers had to do the play-in and then still had to play the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – that two with, what, 3 games left, that's not – that's probably not happening. It would be extremely unlikely that the Suns would fall to 3. Basically, you would need the Clippers to win out and the Suns to lose out the rest of the games.
Yeah, and I'm not sure who Phoenix plays, but, I mean, I know they play the Trailblazers one time, but – other than that, let me check their schedule here, see if that loads quickly for me. Who knows? So their next game is against Portland. And then their final two. Sorry about this pause. This is very bad radio.
Well, while you're doing that, while you're pulling that up, I've got Clippers up right here. The Clippers are probably going to win out. They've got Charlotte, Houston, and OKC.
Okay, so Phoenix has Portland and then a back-to-back against San Antonio twice.
Oh. Well, I guess it's not total. I mean, I think the Clippers are going to go 3-0 over the next 3. Charlotte, Houston, and OKC. I would imagine they probably win all 3 of those, so I guess it's not out of the question. It's not impossible.
also depends who was the tiebreaker between those two teams. I have no idea.
Right. We would have to check that out.
Phoenix. Let me do just a really quick scan. Phoenix is 1-2 against the Clippers. So it looks like the Clippers have the tiebreaker.
So it's possible. It could happen. And here's the thing, Ron. I was on a show earlier today, and they were talking about the Jazz and the Suns and just how the Western Conference looks in general. And I said, if you're the Jazz, if you're the Suns, and you've gone through this whole season, the Suns making the playoffs for the first time in, I can't even remember how many years it's been, right?
11.
Okay, so they're now finding themselves near the top of the West. It's been a miraculous season for them. The Utah Jazz, the number one seed, been playing tremendous basketball. They were just tearing teams to shreds early in the season. And your reward could potentially be, if you're the 1 or 2 seed, getting either the Lakers or the Warriors in the first round. So let's say the Lakers finish 7 and the Warriors finish 8. The reward for the Jazz and the Suns is to get the Lakers and the Warriors in round 1. That would be a little bit frustrating if I was a Suns fan or a Jazz fan.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens. Those two teams, with the exception of Donovan Mitchell for the last 3 weeks, did not really deal with injuries. So it kind of inflated their value and inflated their contending ability in the Western Conference. Everyone's fully healthy for the whole season. I can't imagine the Jazz and Suns walk away with 1-2.
Yeah, I can't imagine either. I think that because people were hurt, that's what boosted them up. But again, they've had really good seasons. You know, don't take anything away from them.
Good.
But the teams around them have all suffered more injuries. Now, of course, Donovan Mitchell, that's caused the Jazz to fall back just a little bit, but they've still stayed pretty competitive. I mean, not competitive. They've been good. They've been really good.
Yeah.
I've got some people commenting on the Kyrie Irving injury. I didn't see it, and so I'm trying to find some info on it real quick. I know he got hit in the face, but I don't know what his status is. So Kyrie, facial contusion, was not healthy enough to make a return to the game. Undergo further testing on Wednesday despite showing signs of a concussion. So that could be it for the regular season for him.
James Harden could be coming back though here, mm-hmm. So. Nets will be fine.
yeah, I'm not too worried about the Nets. They'll be in good shape. All right, let's go one more Lakers question, and then we will call it an evening here. Some people asking where Chris the Masterpiece Masters is. Chris was with us the whole game on the live watch party over on Hot Mic. So next time we do one of those, come join us. It's a lot of fun. We were talking Lakers basketball the whole time. Here's a good question. Brian Wasserman from YouTube. Are you surprised the Lakers are going for 6th? Like Anthony Davis saying that the seeding had something to do with him wanting to stay in this game. I'm a little bit surprised that the Lakers would be that determined, because they've sounded very uncaring about having to be in the play-in tournament. They've sounded like, hey, if that's what we have to do, that's what we have to do. And I think there's a benefit to getting the Suns in round 1 instead of the Clippers, unless the Clippers are going to move up. But it does surprise me a little bit. What about you, Ron?
See, to me, with all of the potential movement, you know, the Clippers, everything from the Jazz to basically the Grizzlies at 9, everything is so in flux right now. No one is really deadlocked at a specific seed. And so if I'm the Lakers, I'm thinking, well, we don't know where everyone else is going to fall, so we have to do what's best for our team, and we'll figure it out from there. Mm-hmm. And what's best for their team is to not have to play for a full week and go straight into round 1 rather than having to do a play-in tournament. So they're probably thinking, we have no idea where the chips are going to fall. Let's just focus on what we can control. And what we can control is winning out and potentially getting out of the play-in tournament.
And that makes sense. They probably really should have that mentality. But again, from the fan perspective, you're kind of going, I'd rather they play the Suns in the first round, though. But yes, I do agree. And who knows? There's the possibility that they get to the 6th seed and still see the Suns in the playoffs if the Clippers do indeed win out and the Suns struggle a little bit.
Or they get to the five and see the Nuggets.
It's a lot of different things that can happen right now. Mamba mentality. Chris is defending his belt right now. He's going to be defending his belt, I think, this weekend, but not at the moment. He was with us earlier tonight, and he is going to be back soon. Don't worry. All right, guys. What a night. What a night. A defensive battle, 90s style, Lakers versus Knicks. Ridiculously low scoring. I think we put out there, Ron, you found this. The second half was 35-36 was the score for the second half of this game. But the Lakers get it done in overtime. Talen Horton-Tucker hits a big shot. And Wesley Matthews with a huge play to put it in OT. Just a gritty, gritty win for the Lakers. Gotta love that. Right back at it again tomorrow against the Houston Rockets. And it's banner night. Raising that banner. Number 17 from last season. Finally, we get to see that go up in Staples Center. So that should be a lot of fun. And Ron, you get to be there in person.
Yeah, we'll be at the game. So I'll keep everyone updated on how banner night's looking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, guys, make sure you are following Ron on social media because he is going to be keeping people updated from banner night in Staples Center. So you can see his details right there at RonGutterman24 on Twitter, at RonGutterman on Instagram. So make sure you guys go follow him. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.